Great, it's 8 a.m. and we are recording.
Perfect. Thank you, Diane. It's 8 a.m. This is the Improvements Committee for March the 3rd. Item one, call to order. Number two, comments from the public.
I have one.
Any?
Very good.
Perfect timing, Bob. You didn't fill out a comment card.
Some would say. others would disagree.
Others would say perfectly not.
So several months ago, my engineer and Joe Domenicelli worked on coming up with refining some numbers on the tank size and the gallons per day calculation. Yeah. And Joe's had some health issues, but it's been 2 months and we still have no progress. Joe's agreed that his numbers are too high and that he's going to redo them, but
I
don't know if we can compel. My engineer's been having a hard time getting in touch with him. I don't know if there's somebody else that he can talk to. You got that? Thank you very much.
I will call him today.
He's back at work now.
I've heard he's feeling better, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not blaming him. There needs to be a plan B. Otherwise, we're going to be months and months.
Well, you know, thank you, Bob.
Okay, thank you.
This is just one specific thing. Maybe as part of the budget, should we review all of our contractual relationships with, like, Joe and Patrick? What do you think, John? Or, sorry, for Andy?
That's something to think about. I don't think we'd have to do all of them, but there might be a couple that we might want to look at.
Okay. And we only have a very few. We have TNT, Joe.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
And TNT's on the agenda for this morning.
All right. Next up is Travis.
Yay!
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'll start my report with the SCADA server backup. So I've been speaking with Mike Strudeville with AIC. He's our SCADA contract to do our work. He told me that the information that we got from Adam was incorrect. They are fully ready and capable to do our server backup. They have a system called Vreem, V-R-E-E-M. He's in the process of getting all of that together so that he can use that and either, depending on the direction the district wants to go, he can either set up a completely separate cloud system, completely independent of everything, or he can use that as also in conjunction with the district's cloud service. He's going to get me a quote. He's guesstimating it'll be roughly $10,000 to $12,000 to get it initially set up. Well, I'll be bringing that back probably next month to talk about that. But I am moving forward on that. And depending on where they go, my recommendation to the Improvements Committee would probably be to go with AIC since they're doing all of our work and they will be doing our maintenance and service.
So, Travis, they're going to host that on their cloud and have all the apps and everything?
Yes, they were the one. I specifically requested that the district IT department, whoever we use, it doesn't matter who it is, I don't want it intertwined with the water treatment plant. The district's got enough going on with theirs. I would prefer just the company that services and maintains our water plant SCADA to be the only access along with myself.
You're a wise man.
So once I get that more, I'll be bringing that back, but that's the direction I'm looking at going.
Any questions for us, Randy?
Nope.
Okay, next.
Next, the Rio Oso rehab and cost. To do the study, the board asked We had Daryl here to put together a quote of what it would cost for him to do a report and a study on looking at Rioso Tank to give us an idea of whether we can do a rehab on it or it's needing a full replacement. He did send us a quote for $24,780 to start that process. And including in that, there was three things he would be doing for us. He'd be looking at it. He'd be writing up a report that would detail his findings and then what his recommendations would be at that time. So my request is that the Improvements Committee approve to move this to the board for approval at the next board meeting.
So Joe's just going to give us his idea of what it's going to take, and that way we have an impartial look at things rather than just relying on vendor.
Correct.
Is he also going to do some sort of project management so we can make sure that whoever vendor we use, they're using the right kind of epoxy or whatever we're doing?
Well, what we're going to do, first of all, is we're going to find out what direction we're going to go. But yes, Daryl, if it goes that direction, yes, we can use Daryl as project management to approve everything, look at everything, drawings, and everything that's needed to be done.
Okay.
Next item is the TNT Master Services Agreement renewal.
We should officially say that we
I apologize.
Approval of this and move it to the board for, at the next meeting.
That's our consensus.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item, TNT Master Services Agreement renewal. 3 years ago, we put together a master services agreement with TNT for emergency purposes. For if, you know, emergency happens, we need to get stuff done, we have a master services agreement. That came up for renewal at the first of the year. Josh sent an updated master services agreement with the updated prices. I've spoken to Amelia. My preference is that we stick with TNT for several reasons. One, he knows our all of our equipment. He's local. He can get people here to respond quickly, and I can go pound on his door at 1 a.m. if I have to, if he doesn't answer his phone.
Plus, he's done so much work here.
I'm very happy with his work. I don't have any issues with it, and so I would like to have the Improvements Committee approve to do another 3-year services contract with TNT.
So my only question, Travis, is it to our benefit to just have one contractor with a master agreement? Can't we have another one in case TNT is not available, another second vendor?
I have the one for TNT. I do have other contractors that I can call. We can set up another one. I don't know. I don't know. Are you allowed to have multiple ones? I don't know how that industry works. We have this one. We have other contractors. We have like M3 Construction. That we can call. A lot of it depends on what the particular issue is. But this is just, you know, something that says, hey, to my staff or to district staff, this is our first call. And these are the prices that he will be charging us for the next year on T&M basis.
Sure, but this is a contract for services primarily, mm-hmm. for skilled labor. And I mean, once you get an exclusive with a guy, there's no real price incentive. And It just seems like we could hire, we could have another agreement with another contractor who also you approve, and so we could go back and forth between them or something.
Yeah, I can reach out to a few other contractors. Like I said, we have M3 who's local, who's done some work for us, and we can do up a master services agreement with them also, so that way there we have them on contract to move forward.
Yeah. No, that, I mean, doesn't cost us anything.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll get a hold of Sean. Matter of fact, he just called me yesterday. So I can reach out to him and see if he'd be willing to do that.
Okay.
So, Travis, this existing contract expired in January, and these rates are 3 years old?
No, the rates that are here are his current ones.
Well, this says these rates are effective through June 30th of 2023.
These were the rates that he sent me.
You might want to check, because on the top of the page it says
January 18, 2023.
Yeah.
Let me verify, because
whoever wrote this contract needs to update it with the new dates, and he needs to get us his most recent rates.
This is the original contract that was signed by Mike Ritchie in 2023.
Right.
Do you have the new rates that you can share with us?
I do have his new rates. I don't.
The new rates are in here. They're page 15. And you'll see. So immediately. Oh, no, those are those.
Yeah. Let me clean this up and bring it back next month.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest.
Let me.
His insurance certificate is up to date, but the rest of it is old stuff.
Yeah. Great. So you'll update that and bring it back next month, Travis?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Item D.
Item D is Veolia Annual Services Contract. This is for our membrane plant. We have annually... we have a contract with them for 24/7 support. If something goes wrong, we can call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's also for in-site service every 2 weeks, and once a month they send us update on how the membranes are running, just all of the information that on the health of the membranes. Those two items are charged up front. The third thing that's on the quote is field service rep visit. If for some reason they don't charge us for that unless we actually use it. Like I have one coming next week on last year's contract. And then they'll be charging us. Basically what they've done is they've just set the price for what it would be for them to come out for airfare, lodging, and everything too. This contract is, or this service that they provide is very good. If you have a problem at 1 a.m. and we can't seem to figure out what it is, for the Veolia side of the problems. So this is something that we have for the past 15 years kept up, and I'm just requesting that we continue to keep this up.
Okay. All righty. Okay, so Randy, can we move this forward?
I don't have a problem with it. Okay. This to the board.
Thank you.
Something's wrong. We're just going a little too fast here, right?
Yeah, I know. It's
no.
slow
down. Slow my roll.
Speak slower.
Okay. No. Item E. We had, on the last storm, as everyone's aware, we had a washout of the road back by Granley's Dam. That's the spillway for Clementia, and the water receded, and we were able to get these pictures. You can tell by that first picture that the bottom pipe completely split. And the top pipe looks like it's in good condition, but it would still have to be removed so the bottom one can be pulled out and replaced. And it's my belief that there should be a third pipe in there. And when that one was removed several years ago, there wasn't one put back in there, which is believed what potentially caused this problem. We haven't started looking to see what is going to be. I'm waiting for Corey to see if this is a task that he can take on with his staff. We went out and looked at it. I don't know if, because this might be something that we have to contract out to do, to get bids to do, because this is 150% ours to repair.
Yeah.
So this might have to wait until summertime, so the water's done. We've got the area barricaded with barricades so people don't drive past it.
This is a Corey thing, right?
Yes.
So I was out there this weekend, and on the far side of the road, all those barricades were gone.
Are you serious?
There was like two on one side and a cone
on the other side. When was this?
Saturday morning at
because
10:30.
They were okay, because I saw that they were the okay. According to the direction I gave staff, and I'll go look, the barricade should be back a little bit farther where the road forks, so somebody just doesn't even drive in there. But I'll verify.
They're back 15 feet. The other thing is there was like a 4x, and in your picture it's not there, and I don't know how it got there, but it's sticking up. I don't know.
Yeah, the piece of wood?
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be in one of the pictures.
You know, stuff gets moved around out there. Those conduits that are going across it, what are those?
I know a couple of them are phone lines. I don't know what the big white one is. I don't know if it's electrical or what it is, to be honest with you. I know that two of them are phone lines because I was part of running the phone line.
Should we do anything to support those? Because, I mean, we're just going to make, if somebody tries to walk it across it and breaks it, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know how we would, but we'll figure out something.
Just a question, Travis.
Yeah, no, I'll get with Corey because I need to find out from him if this is a project that he's able to take on or not. And then the other thing too is if we're buying corrugated pipe for the MEC project, if we need to buy pipe here, we might as well buy it at the same time.
It makes sense to have spares in the yard.
Well, we have corrugated pipe there, but it's not of this length or size. We have drainage, black pipe back there, but. I just need to follow. He was able to look at it on Thursday, since the water was down, and then he was off on Friday, and I was out yesterday, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it. But I just wanted to let you guys be aware of it and know what it is, so we can make plans whether we're going to do it in house or start getting quotes to get it fixed. For future.
So is there an action on this?
Or? No, this is, well, that's up to you guys, but this was just an informative.
Yeah, we got to fix it.
Yeah. Installation, item F, installation of two new fire hydrants. Corey wanted me to bring this forward. This is an item that he wants to do. There is a pipe, a mainline pipe on Marietta Parkway that goes from Second Guadalupe to Camino del Lago. That pipe actually dead ends on the valve, on one of the valves that are, if you open it up, will combine the two combined the two distribution systems. That line has, we have no way of flushing that line. That pipe, I mean, that valve hasn't been exercised since I've been here, because we prefer not to, unless we have to, mix the two distribution systems. But Corey wants to put two fire hydrants on that line, which is a good idea because we're able to flush the line water quality-wise. And so the paperwork that you have there, one part of the cost is for the parts to purchase all the parts, the fire hydrants and all the parts. The other one is for Tapmaster. The goal for Corey is to is for his staff to get all the parts, put the bands on, get everything done, and then just have Tapmaster come in with their machine and tap it. That's his goal. He got a quote. That's the $2,186. If for some reason something happens and staff can't do it, he also had him quote what Tapmaster would charge, which was the $11,483. So what I did is I just brought the total to request for approval. And if they do what Corey wants to in-house, it'll just be a lot cheaper. It'll be $11,000 cheaper.
When we bring that to the council, can we at least have that as a note saying that we're not locking ourselves into doing all this? We have the option to do it for cheaper?
Correct, yeah. If you guys... Sure written on I'll have it written out on that. So then that way... It'll either be that amount or $12,000 less.
Okay. I have a general question about that. How many places do you flush the line, or do you wish that you could flush the line?
Well, the right, since our distribution system is a branch system and not a complete loop system, we have mostly on all the parks we have blow-offs. They're at the very end of the pipe. It's the one that's kind of like right outside the house to where you can flush the end of the line, or they have fire hydrants. But you really don't want a section that long that you're unable to flush, because it's basically a dead end. So the water sits in there. You get THMs built up. You get water quality issues built up. And so when we go to flush the... let's just, the blow off at the end of your street is a perfect example. That will bring down water.
Okay, wait a second. It's not my street, it's Randy's street.
On the street.
Get it straight.
Yes, sir. I apologize. No. On your street, Clementia Circle.
Well, I live there, but it's Randy's street.
Oh, then, okay. I apologize. Yeah. But what happens is if we do that blow off, we'll pull, you know, because it's such a small blow-off and a big pipe, it doesn't really flush the line. All it does is will create more problems. So if we have fire hydrants on there, we're able to get a better flushing flow and able to scour the line a lot better.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that something we should look at? And that was kind of the follow-on question is, okay, so... do we have places like the end of Clementia that are identified where we can improve it so we have less buildup?
That is one of the things that Corey is actually working on.
Great.
So.
Okay.
So we'd recommend. I'd like to recommend that the improvements committee approve this to move forward to the board.
Yep.
For approval.
Gee.
Okay, review resolution for surplus equipment and safety center furniture. That's not on my thing because I don't know anything about it.
I can speak to that. We have surplus equipment, it's pretty standard. We have the safety center over here, which we are just hoping... maybe we'll get some money for it, but I don't know if you know the condition of the building. It's got dry rot all around. The outside is literally falling off. There's been severe water damage to the inside of the building, so it needs to just go. We also have just various old, like 1990s office furniture that's outlived its usefulness that we will surplus, and IT equipment, which includes computers and their hard drives. And we have e-waste coming out to, what do? They shred the hard drive. Mm-hmm. So those will be taken care of. There are also 10 new vinyl windows. What happened there was at one point years ago, we were going to rehab the safety center. And so we went to a contractor, and they said, well, the first thing we have to do is order these windows. And I was like, don't feel good about that. Want to know if you can do the work. So my superior said, order the windows. We got the windows. They came out and said, oh, there's dry rot. And I'm like, I told you there was dry rot. I told you there was mold. I knew that. So then, of course, they had to hot-foot it out of here. They couldn't do the work at all, and we have these windows. So I'm hoping that we can recoup some of our costs from the windows because there's nothing else for us to do with them unless we build a new building. In the meantime...
Unless we build a new building?
Or something, yeah, right?
So if we build a new building, we already got the windows?
We got the windows covered, exactly.
Perfect.
So I would like to surplus these items.
Yeah, this includes the entire safety center.
Yeah, there'll be nothing there.
Right. Yeah, because it says, and safety center furniture. And it's like...
No commercial modular unit, serial number.
I'm just looking at the agenda item.
Oh. Yes, it's in the entire safety center, yes, sir.
It's like, buy some furniture, get a free safety center. Is that what you're saying?
Wouldn't that be nice?
We talked about this. I think we should just... put this whole safety center onto Craigslist. Say, here, we'll sell it to you for $1. You have to remove the whole thing.
Exactly.
And who knows? Somebody in Wilton might think that's a great...
That's a great deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, I had a quote for $20,000 just to remove it. So right now, I'm hoping I can just get it removed for free. That would be amazing.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Give it away.
And then we'll... And I think that the safety department...
You don't want to sell it even for $1 because then you bring in liability. There's dry rot there. I think you have to trash it. I don't think even... Now, the more I think about it, the more I think you don't even want to give it away because if something happens with the... I think there's some liability there since we know that the dry rot exists.
Well, and it's a trailer. I don't know how they're even going to pull it down the road.
They put wheels on it.
You know, without it flying all apart as it drives along.
Yeah.
So then what are you recommending, Randy, that we surplus everything except the trailer and...
And hire someone to demolish it.
Okay, we have that.
That's my thing.
Okay, well, I will bring it.
We certainly want to avoid liability, but, I mean, the people, the equation is that if we sell it for $1, we may have some liability. But, Amelia, correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't we ask some people and they said, oh, yeah, 20, 30 grand?
20,000, 22,000, something like that. And that was years ago. That was probably 2022.
We have a proposal.
Oh, do we have a proposal?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let me see if I can find it.
To just demolish it. So I will take it to the board with your permission and I'll write into the memo, and when I present it, I will let them know that you recommended we just demolish it. I'll leave it on the resolution, though, so that if they decide they want to try and sell it, that we can do that, and then we can just take it off the resolution rather than add it back on. Is that... Sound okay, Randy? Or take it off the resolution now?
Let's let the board decide.
We have a company that gave us a proposal to demolish it for $16,000. But if we remove the e-waste and the furniture, that's $1,000. So
that we'll save?
That we save. So it will actually come out to $15,000. to remove it, and he can have it done within 2 days or something. Planet Demo.
I work with some demolition contractors that
will give us a quote.
Will definitely be interested in this, and probably will do better than that.
Can't we have it as a stress reliever for CSD staff with sledgehammers?
but then we got to go by the sledgehammers.
Right. The yeah. PPE.
I guess that's under the amount that the general manager.
It's under $5,000. I mean, I can right. We can get it approved.
You do that, but then we've got the liability of you guys, you know, whacking yourselves with sledgehammers.
We'll just play whack-a-mole.
Very good. Are those your wishes as well, to move it to the board, Bill?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, Randy's correct. We want to avoid liability, but when you and I were talking back in December or something, it's like, I mean, and there's dry rot, and maybe, you know, mold. And if there's dry rot, there might be mold. Could be a big environmental issue, so... Either way, we need to get rid of it.
We had it tested for mold, and they said there was definitely mold there, but it wasn't black mold. And somewhere I have those test results, but again, they're 3 years old.
So, okay, yeah. Well, no, mold doesn't grow.
Okay, yeah, mold is good. And I think that the security department is doing okay in here, in this building, and it's very nice to be able to see them every day.
Okay. But yeah, we need to move that up the list of stuff to get rid of. Whatever the best way is.
Thank you.
And Randy, you'll send me...
You better email him and remind him.
Let's
go to the board first.
Let's go to the board first, okay. and see if that's the way everybody wants to go, and then if that's the way we want to go, I'll get to them.
Yeah, well, Randy, can you ask your friends what it costs to get rid of that thing? I mean,
they want. I wouldn't send them out here. If it's a real quote and they're going to get the job, if they're low,
okay,
that's when they'll spend the time to come out and look at it.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you for those reports. Item H, that's you, Randy.
Working Vision Group update.
Oh, yeah.
The group met last week. A lot of what we're trying to do is kind of at a standstill because we need, at this point, a lot of what we're trying to do, we need legal advice and counsel. So I know the board at the last meeting directed Patrick to come up with some names of attorneys that that specialize in water law, and that's really what we need on a lot of the things we're working on. Some of the highlights that we've been talking about: the Urban Water Master Plan. Amelia and Travis are working on getting an RFP in place. The goal there is to get proposals during the month of June. So there isn't a lot of urgency to that right now, but we do want to get ahead of the game so that we have plenty of time for people to get their proposals into us. June, and we think June is the month that that's the month where most of them will have the time and be able to put an effort into getting us a proposal.
And these are proposals for what?
The Urban Water Master Plan.
Okay. So, speaking about lawyers, I spoke with a law firm, Acronic, who I guess used to represent us many years ago, and I spoke with one of their water specializing attorneys, a guy named Russell Frink, for half hour, 45 minutes. And I didn't ask him for a proposal because I didn't think we're at that point yet. But he's been doing only water law for the last, you know, 12, 15 years, something like that, here in the Sacramento area. And he seems like a smart guy.
And you said it was chronic?
Chronic. The guy's name is Russell Frink. And he's just he's not a general municipal attorney. He's simply a water attorney.
Jenny Buckman.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really ask Patrick how we would go about doing this. I assumed he was going to come up with some names for us to interview, and then we would just choose someone. We wouldn't put this out for an RFP.
No, he's just looking for people, and I know he has two so far. If you share that name with me, I'll tell him to contact that person as well, Bill. Or you can share it directly with Patrick if you'd like.
Patrick used to work there. So if he doesn't,
Oh. Okay, I'll make sure that he's getting a bid from Quantic. Or seeing if there's no conflict of interest with Quantic.
He's getting bids? Shouldn't you be getting the actual bids, Amelia?
I don't think we're talking about bids. I think we're talking about choosing someone based on
That's what I meant.
And that's a factor might be their hourly rate, but I think I would like to whoever if he comes up with three names, we interview three people and we choose one.
So that would be the board. My opinion is this is, Patrick or, I found these guys and it doesn't matter who finds them, but we need to have the board and the general manager talk to these guys and see, we get to measure them up.
Right.
I don't want to just have Patrick say, oh, yeah, I picked this guy. It's like.
No, he's coming up, I think we said he said he was going to come up with three names, and then we need to come up with the process of who's going to interview them. And the board will decide the best person for us.
Yeah.
He is. He's speaking with an Eric Robertson at KMTG. I didn't realize that KMTG was chronic. So
he's speaking with who?
Eric Robinson.
Is he okay? Okay. Because I had one of the senior partners at Chronic put me on to Mr. Frank, for whatever that means.
Okay, would you like me to ask Patrick to be sure and ask for Mr. Frank at...
Yeah, no, I want to see Mr. Frank in person. I'd like to.
Thank you, sir.
So, where was I? Travis and Amelia are going to meet with Jay Schneider and get more details on what he was talking about free water at the town hall meeting. Not really sure. Everybody's a little bit confused as to what it was that he was proposing. And so we're going to do a little bit more investigating on what it was that he had in mind there.
Yeah. He said the same thing at the council meeting after
Board meeting.
Yeah, and I don't understand it, but we're going to try and understand what it is that he's talking about. Tom Chuchuk is working on a water usage audit. He's got a spreadsheet where he's looking at how much water we're using by residential units. And the interesting thing that he said was we always think of water usage in terms of how much land, how big it is the lot that's being used. But Tom found in his research that a lot of it has to do with when the house was built, because the older houses are less efficient in their usage of water, and so that's a big factor in it. And so he's still working on that. Tom's a spreadsheet guy, and he's got lots of numbers to look at, and it's interesting. At some point, we'll probably bring it to the board as a report item. We all know that water usage is going down as we do get more efficient in our usage, especially in landscaping, which, not to get off on a tangent here, but it's good and bad. It's good in that we're using less water. It's bad in that it leads to less revenue for us. So at some point, we're going to have to compensate. And, well, we've got the budget meeting coming up. So we need to talk about the future and how we do bill and get our revenue in based on the fact that water usage is decreasing.
Travis, we must have readily available figures for total water usage by month over the last 10 years. All we ever look at is what we have this month.
Yeah, no, I have a spreadsheet that goes back to 1991.
And what's your opinion? Are we using more or less water?
No, we're using less water. We actually met our 20% by 2020 goal. Mm-hmm. So we are using less water.
If you want to see something real, real simple to understand it, there's a graph in the draft integrated water master plan that shows water usage per person, gallons per day per person over the years, and our water usage has decreased about 28% in the last 20 years.
And where is that, Randy?
It's in the draft of the IWMP.
So you're saying that Tom is looking, the metrics he's using are based on like water meter analysis?
He's gotten with Amelia, I don't know if you want he dove into tons of.
We provided Tom with the address and the water use for the last 5 years per month on every home in the district. And so he just looked at 2025, and he found that the older homes, the homes in the fairways, use the most water across the board, almost three times as much as those homes in the gardens, and attributed it mostly to the newer landscaping, newer plumbing, newer fixtures, I guess.
And what about attempts to quantify the amount of water that's lost in transmission, Travis?
So that's one of the things that Corey wanted to do a leak study on. And then also to part of these meter heads that he's getting, and the direction that he's been asking to go would give us a better idea. I personally think the leak study, at least in the pressure system, would be a good way to go, because since day two, I've asked, you know, those pumps that at Rioso, they run 24/7.
I know.
And if you sit, because I've actually been there at night, and the percentage doesn't go down, and so. The percentage on the VFD, so that water's going somewhere. And so I firmly believe that we need to look into something, at least in the pressure zone, because since we don't have accurate flow meters going out of the tank, we have to be able to tell, you know, what's going on.
But we could, I mean, I'm sure they have a scale. We could put like a clamp on ultrasonic meter under the pipe. Do you think that would be doable?
The problem is that the problem is, though, is the way that that's built. Because we have one on the influent pipe going into the tank. The way that that one's built, there is they compacted that setup so much that anything above ground, there is no room to put one on. Because you have to have not only the meter, but you have to have so much on both sides of empty space, not empty space, but of straight space to be able to get accurate reads. So if that is something that we want to do, we would be digging up underground pipe and putting that on there.
See, I mean, I this is just kind of me envisioning things. I have no idea if this is doable or not, but I mean, we could get those, you know, non-invasive ultrasonic sensors and put them every half mile down the pressure system and figure out where the leak is. Could we, I mean, is that possible, or is that
this a little bit out of my scope that I would have to I don't want to say scope, sorry, a little bit out of my knowledge, so I'd have to get some answers to that. But I mean, there are several, I mean, you could even go as simple as tapping in a little flow meter that the water would go past it for, you know, for basic numbers.
I'd like to get an ultrasonic. I mean, poking holes in 40-year-old pipe.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I believe that there's something, but I also believe at that pressure. I've heard different stories. You know, someone says, well, you know, if the leak's on the bottom of the pipe, that can just keep shooting downwards and never surface. I've been 16 years. I think by now it would surface somewhere. or we've created our own aquifer to drill a well on. So,
but
one of the two things is happening.
But I mean, your first statement is really telling. If the pumps never slow down,
It's something's going on.
I mean, we don't have that many people who shower at 3 a.m.
That is true. And so, you know, and based on historical, irrigation doesn't start till around the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
So it's going somewhere.
But, it's almost like, I mean, I would say it's 20. This is just a guess. 25% of our water is being lost, and that's a huge number.
I wouldn't go that high. Please don't print that, because that wouldn't be an accurate number. That's a lot of water.
I did not say it was accurate.
I understand what you're saying.
Coming out of Rio Oso, you look at it from, you know, 11 p.m. till 5 a.m. That's 6 hours, and who's using water?
Yeah.
Nobody's watering their lawn. Nobody's filling their pool.
Right, and the other thing too, and this is kind of where my, you know, my knowledge of pumps and VFDs lack. If you look at the graph that's at the water plant that shows the level going down, during the day it'll go up, down, up, down, up, down, and then at nighttime it'll fill up, and then it'll be a slow burn going down.
Okay.
So maybe it's, and maybe it's not the same amount of water going out.
Okay, what would happen if the pump was running but the water wasn't flowing?
The pressure would go down in the system somewhere if the water is not actually flowing.
I mean, because it could be like, I mean, you got to have a thing that turns the pump on and off, right?
Well, no. These pumps, they do technically if they overpressurize, but these pumps don't turn off, because we would actually get an alarm if a pump turned off.
Do you have a meter on Rio Oso tank? I mean, because you said coming out of the water plant, it goes down slowly after
midnight. No. This is the level at the actual tank itself.
Okay, thank you.
So it's not like it's not releasing at the same rate at nighttime as it is during the day. And so part of the rehab that I would like to do on this tank, if we're going to do the rehab, because, you know, we'll be bypassing the tank, is putting a flow meter on the downside street. So,
but aren't state-of-the-art water, municipal water systems, don't they have sensors every half mile or something on their distribution system?
I would imagine they would.
I mean,
no.
We have... We know how much water we produce.
Correct.
And we know how much water we use based on meters.
Right.
The difference is the loss. And it's not 20%.
No. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Okay, but there's one more thing, Randy. You're assuming that the numbers of usage by combining meter usage is correct, and I mean, is all of our water that's going out the meters being correctly recorded?
So once a month they go out and they do the reads, okay, and then they turn it into Chris, and then Chris shoots out what's called a zero read list, and those are meters that weren't read and they show zero usage, and so what happens is then that list gets given to Corey, and his staff go out and physically read the meters and write the numbers down and turn those in. And then, so it'll either be nobody's living in the house, or the unit that actually receives the signal to read is bad, so they'll replace them, or the meter itself is bad. So... but generally it's either nobody's living in the house, or the unit that will pick up the signal to read it is bad. And then they just physically read the number, and then, it gets given back to staff up here at the front end.
And I think what, Shuchuk is doing is he's trying to figure out all this stuff, addresses without meters, meters without addresses.
Right.
And so that's going to be very, very beneficial.
Yes.
Discussion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, absolutely. What he's doing is going to be very valuable on knowledge. And he's, he's actually finding things that, you know, and we're taking a look at them and moving them forward.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on. Just a couple quick things. The Lake Clementia repermitting, that's one of the things where we really need an attorney to advise us on where to go with that. We've got information on how other people have done it, and we've talked to the water board, and they're very optimistic about that process. The talking to the property owners at the well sites that we're looking at, also waiting on having a discussion with an attorney that understands the water law and how to put together those types of agreements and negotiate with the owners before we do anything further. We are meeting with Dunn this
Wednesday, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
That's right, he's accepted the
tomorrow,
invitation.
And he's going to give us a presentation on, it's called geophysical...
Electromagnetic geophysics study.
Yeah, what he said.
That thing.
What he said.
Yeah. It was done. There was one similarly done in 2015.
Yeah, and he's got some ideas on where it would be beneficial for us to spend some money to do that, so that we zero in more closely on where the water is, and before we just go out there and drill some test wells. He's going to have a presentation for us, and we will bring that back to the committee next month on proposals or recommendations or whatnot.
What do you call that again? Or
was electromagnetic that, yeah? Geo.
It's electromagnetic geophysics. What it is.
Come up so we can get you on recording, Jeff. Thank you.
I think the quote is to do about a 10,000-foot array, and what that means is you put a conductor into the ground, and you measure the resistance in between the conductors, and different kinds of soil and different permeabilities of soil will read different conductivity, and an alluvial soil will conduct at a different rate than, say, a clayey soil or something else. So it gives them a really good read on likely places where there will be water, the structure, the geology that will hold the water.
That's really fascinating. So it's a combination ohm meter and EKG.
Sure. The ground has a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, because you have to do it at depth, right?
Yeah, it measures that. And I want to say that it'll reach 350.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm waiting for his study too, but the company that he's proposing was the same company that did the one on the even further west than the west end of the Anderson Ranch and coming this way. He'd like to do some more of that, and he'd like to do some other areas in CSD too.
So, I mean, my only comment, Randy, is it seems like everything we do around here, somebody loves it and somebody hates it, and it's like, I think it would be best if this guy gave his presentation to the board. And that way, the public and the board, everybody hears all this fancy stuff, and the guy just says, yeah, there's water here. And I think that'll make it, it'll diffuse a lot of the tribalism.
I would suggest then that after we listen to his presentation tomorrow, that we either recommend that he bring it back to this committee, or that no, we're not interested.
Yeah, I don't disagree. There'll be a dollar figure associated with it. It'll probably have to go through the board anyway.
I mean, there's going to be a dollar figure. There's always a question of, you know, just like with dead storage, you know, there's always a question of how accurate are these numbers, what are their limitations, and if everybody hears it rather than just, you know, a small group of people, I think it tends to help us get to a common goal.
Sure. I mean, you're starting to get to the point to where, you know, if the structure existed for project management here, that would all be handled inside of a project management structure. A lot of the stuff is really, really technical, but as you might expect.
Jeff for the win. Yeah. Anything else, Randy?
Yes.
So I have. Okay. I saw a karma card from the lady in the front. No?
No comment. Oh, she took it back.
Uh-huh.
She's retracted her comment card.
I want to say after.
The presentation by Dunn, would that be stuff, areas that he's already surveyed previously and look for wells for before, but or would he also look at where water systems consultants?
He's going to do both. What's been looked at before.
Uh-huh.
I've also heard that he might be interested in going up by the lakes because he thinks that there's some possibilities up there. So, if we listen to it and we think it has possibilities, we'll have him come to the improvements committee next month.
The chance of the geology changing and the water changing in the ensuing time. There's a chance also, maybe 2013
or 2027. All right, and Travis?
Just on a separate note, as you guys know, I'm going to be leaving out of state or out of the country on the day after the board meeting, and I'll be back the 4th. I'm going to try to get what I can get done for next month's packet before I leave, and then I'll see if I can get Corey to help out. So I'll try to get what I can get done before I leave on the 18th. So that way it can get posted and everything in time, because I'll be back the Sunday before the meeting.
Yeah, you know what, though?
One of these times he's not going to come back.
Travis, in his own defense, didn't take a vacation nearly enough.
Yeah.
Vacation. So vacations are good for your heart.
So I'm just letting you know, I'm going to try to get most I can get together before I go. And then...
That was adorable.
so just a heads up. And if for some reason, you know, there's an accidental cancellation of a flight and I can't make it back in time, you know, the war in the Middle East gets worse. I bought travel insurance. So
it doesn't help if they cancel the flights.
Yeah, mine does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, it won't get you on a flight that's not leaving.
I know, but we'll try.
You can live for like $800 a month in time. Yeah. So, not that that means anything.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
No other public comments?
Or director comments?
Director comments. Okay. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
901.
Good time. Good timing.